How's everybody? Can you hear me okay in the back? All right, sounds good. Well, the Lord is good. All the time. We want to welcome back Mr. Austin. It's good to see you, brother. Some of you know him. He's one of the original pillar villains from Oceanside that came back to us. So you're in recruiter school now. Your beautiful wife, Sam, you left her, so she's back taking care of all the kids. Yeah. In Tennessee. Not a bad place to be. Maybe in the summer, but overall. Well, good. Well, friends, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in James and Hebrews most of the night, James chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 11. I'm excited about the word tonight. I'm going to read two scriptures. We'll pray, then I'll tell you, you could probably guess what we're going to talk about. Let's just read, we'll pray, then we'll get into it. So James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. James says this, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." In Hebrews 11, chapter 6 says this, Hebrews 11, verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time tonight, Father, just singing worship to you, that especially that last song, how great is your name, that you are high and lifted up, and you are above every name that is named, every name on this earth that has been named, Jesus, you are higher. You're worthy of our praise and adoration. And I pray as we dive into the very word that you inspired, Jesus, that you inspired your half-brother James to write these things down, and it was saved for thousands of years that we read it today and we glean from it your will for our lives. We just stand here humbled before it, Father God. So we ask for open eyes and open ears and softened hearts and help me deliver the truth, Father. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, these two verses, so we're kind of in a chunk, and next week will be like that too, of what we call topical sermons. So the pastor gets to preach what we teach on. And so Trace has been gone, so you guys have long suffered with me, and I appreciate you very much. And thanks, Heidi. But these two particular verses, I think about almost daily. Almost, I'm sure there's days I don't think about it. But these two verses are always rattling around in my brain about asking in faith and not doubting, and then without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because we should make it our aim to please God. Amen? And so I was telling this to Justin like 2 or 3 weeks ago that I had in my heart to talk about faith, and I kind of punted and pushed it down the road. So tonight I want to talk about faith. I want to talk about the kind of faith that pleases God, it doesn't waver, and gets results. So as you know me, the message title, I'm big on patterns. So the message is called The Pattern of Biblical Faith. So last week we talked about the pattern of the Lord's Prayer, how it maps over the Old Testament, the New Testament, we kind of laid it out there. But there are patterns in the Bible that are always repeating, and I think the Bible does that intentionally. We have a lot of different stories. Now, I lean towards being a literalist. I think most of everything that happened in this Bible happened. I don't think it's just an allegory, but I do think there's allegories in them. I think there's stories, and we know this. So when I say there's patterns, I agree with Solomon that there's nothing new under the sun. Amen? That what we're going through now, people have gone through before. Like, we're in a pattern here because that's just how life works. So I wanted to show you a pattern that exists with what I would call true biblical faith. Of course, if you have questions, this is Pastor Trace's number. You can text it in. We'll come up and answer it. But instead of being cagey with it, I'm going to show you the pattern, and then we're going to talk about it. So here's the pattern. And it's my infamous, too small for you to read. I know. One day the Lord will have a bigger TV, like in Evan's house, like a projector or something. I think they just invented these things where you can make it bigger. But here it is. I'll read it to you. The pattern is hearing first, then faith is formed, faith directed, action is taken, then God responds. But we're going to go through this if it sounds like I'm rushing. The part you might be questioning is the faith formed part, which sounds weird. But remember, just because you hear doesn't mean you have faith. Amen. And we're going to dive into this one. But I wanted to, so I put a big warning in writing. So hopefully you can read this one. Give us our warning, Lee. A pattern is not a formula. It's very important to know this because patterns can be broken and God is sovereign and God can do whatever he wants. The moment we think we can take the Bible and make it into a recipe where if I do A and I do B, I will always get C, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Amen? The big thing I wanted to put here is your faith does not obligate God to do anything. Amen? Because there's a big branch of Christianity that says if you just have enough faith, you can get God to do anything for you. I personally don't believe that. Amen? I think we can have faith and we can stand on his promises that are in his word, but we can't add to that. Amen? So, you may or may not like that, or you maybe have a question about it. But please don't think a pattern is a formula. Amen? This is an observation of what we see repeated time and time again in the Bible. And I'll give you some examples even where it breaks. But here's our first point. Faith has a source. So the first step in biblical faith, it has to derive from somewhere. You can't see it, but it's Romans 10:17. You can write that down. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So that is faith's singular source. It comes by hearing. Now, we can hear the word of God, but sometimes the Bible tells us that we're to teach our children. Amen? So you don't necessarily even have to physically read this to have faith imparted to you, because right now, you may not be looking at scriptures, but you're hearing me. Amen? And in theory, faith could be being activated. But it's important to note that faith doesn't come from within, something that you can just manufacture. Amen? Biblical faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Amen? So you should note this, that faith is an external force that is acted upon in you first. Amen? Have you ever just tried to believe harder? Like when you got saved, I had a lot of doubts when coming to Christ. Even after I got saved initially, I had doubts. And 30 years later, I have doubts about things. Like doubts pop into my mind. Does anyone else stand there? Amen. But you're going to find that doesn't hurt your biblical faith, because a man or woman of faith should be questioning things. Amen? Faith does not mean you turn off your brain. Amen? We just don't, like, Christians are never told to blindly accept everything that is given to them. Amen? But you remember the Berean church in Acts? It says everything they heard, they went home to read it to see if it was true. Amen? You should guard your heart with all diligence. Even though you trust me, you trust Trace, you should still, like, we make mistakes. I am wrong often. Hopefully not when I'm up here, but you should go home before you let it into your heart. Because that, what I'm teaching you, you could start building faith on something that is wrong and it becomes unbiblical faith. Second thing to know about this is just because you're near the preaching of the word doesn't equal hearing. So proximity does not equal hearing. There are tons of people in the Bible that heard the teachings of Jesus and never had faith. Amen? Now, this is where we get into like the parable of the sower, that the seed is the word of God, and the heart has a bunch of different conditions. Remember this? Ultimately, the good condition is where the seed gets planted, and it grows, and it produces 30, 60, 100-fold. But sometimes that seed falls on hard ground. What's that called? Yeah, like a hard heart, right? Sometimes there's weeds in the heart, and it chokes out the word of God. So just because you hear doesn't mean faith is going to be produced. Amen? That's the tough thing about evangelism. If it was just as easy as sharing the truth with somebody, and then a light bulb goes off, it's like, oh, thanks for telling me the truth. The problem is most of us, our lives are just choked with lies, right? Like whatever we've heard on TV, whatever we've read, our own sin, all these things begin to choke out the truth that is trying to go there. And of course, Romans 12:3, it's not on your screen, but it does say that every man has been given a measure of faith. This doesn't mean the male species, it means male and female. Every human being has been given a measure of faith. Amen? So we have enough faith in our lives to begin to operate these things. And that also is an external gift. Number two, faith always has an outcome. Now, if you have your Bibles, because it's small, this is Hebrews 11. And we read this on the front end. It says, oh, no, we didn't. Hebrews 11:6, it says this. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists. Okay, there's one. Anyone, that includes you. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists. Now, here it is. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's not enough just to come to God and believe he exists. Your faith has to have an outcome. I believe in God. Now, James says something fascinating in chapter 2, verse 19. It says that even the demons believe that there's a God, and they shudder. But that's the end of that discussion. When we come to God, it says those who come to God must believe that he exists and what? That he rewards those who diligently seek him. Faith always has an outcome. Amen? There's always a purpose to your faith. We don't believe anything for the sake of just believing. Biblical faith always has an outcome. Okay, next point. Number three, faith always has an action. Always. James 2:17 teaches us this: faith without works is dead. Now, the word works in churches is normally a bad word, is it not? Because works normally implies that you're trying to do something to earn God's favor. Well, we know that we can't earn our salvation. It's a free gift. All who would call upon his name, we just sang about it. And if you've been forgiven, you've been redeemed. That's a gift. There's nothing you can do that pleases God. However, once you're in his family, God expects you to actually start doing something. Amen? Salvation then works. It's not works then salvation. We get saved, then God actually wants you to go to work in the field. Amen? There's things that we have to do. Those things don't give us brownie points. They don't make us better than anybody else. It's expected of kingdom citizens that they begin to do these things. So the Bible says if you have faith and there's no corresponding action, your faith is dead. Dead is worthless. It produces nothing. There's nothing there. Now, there are some biblical examples, right? The first one out of the gate is Noah. Did he build his boat, his ark, before or after the flood? Right. Correct. I'm getting way too excited about these things. But that's faith, is it not? He had heard from the Lord and he began to build an ark. That's faith in action. He heard and he responded. What about Abraham? He did a couple of things, right? He almost killed his son by faith, right? He took him up to the mountain fully ready to sacrifice his son. He left his country. The Lord told him, he said, get out of your country and go. Amen? Kind of disobeyed there. He took his nephew, Lot. Then the whole Sodom and Gomorrah thing happened, so that kind of went south. But Moses. Moses walked away from Pharaoh's house. He walked away from the most powerful nation on earth, a favored son of Pharaoh, amen, to be with the slave children of Israel. What about Rahab? Right, these are all heroes in Hebrews chapter 11 of people whose faith was demonstrated. They believe something, and therefore they act. Now, on the screen, you'll see 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to as it is written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and we also speak. Biblical faith has to have an action. And part of the exercise I'm going to ask you to do in the coming week is things that you believe that you're not acting on. Because you'll find out, like, hey, where your faith is breaking down at. Here, we believe and we speak. Why do you think God, there's a lot of reasons why we get baptized, but we confess what we believe when we get saved, right? So we confess, and then we get baptized. That's a faith action, right? My mouth speaks, and now I have a corresponding action of what's happened in my heart here. So it's always the pattern that your faith should be acting somehow. And I want to give you an example for something that seems outside of the Bible that you're believing God for. The Bible says if a man does not work, he should not eat. Did you know that? Yes, God doesn't like lazy people. I shouldn't say he doesn't like. That's so rude. He's not down with the not working plan. Let other people feed you. Don't read into that. Don't dissect that. Just go with me on this one. So you know this, and you don't have a job, and you don't have enough money to feed your family. Tragic. It's tragic. So you can stand in faith on the word of God. God, you said that a man should take care of his family. I'm an able-bodied human being. I need a better paying job. I need X, Y, and Z. So your faith is grounded correctly because I want this because of what you want me to do, God. I want to be able to give. I want to support my family. And I say faith has to have an action. So what that means is you don't just sit there and wait for a job to come find you. You go find a job. Amen? Every day you're praying and believing that, but you're putting the resumes out there. Amen? You're doing what you can do. Sometimes it is just doing the grunt work, right? And then letting God do what he does to give you favor, to open the right doors, all the things you believe for. But your faith has a solid action step to it. And sometimes it doesn't feel like it's enough, but I'm telling you, friends, sometimes it's just the small things that make all the difference. Amen? That you're putting that foot out there. Okay. Number four. God responds to faith that is acted upon. Jesus, if you do a study on the miracles of Jesus, one of the most common themes or patterns you'll see about Jesus is asking the question, do you believe I'm able to do this? Have you ever seen that? Like Jesus asking these questions? Do you believe? That's in Matthew 9:28 if you want the notes there. But a couple of examples. The woman with the issue of blood, this is my favorite one. She had heard this lady had female blood issues for like 20 years. And she had heard reports that Jesus was healing people. And she said to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. Do you guys know this story? Now, does anywhere in the Bible say if you touch Jesus' hem on his garment, you'll be healed? Is there any Old Testament scripture that says anything crazy like that? So she told herself this. I bet if I touch the hem of his garment, I could be healed. So she's not even standing on a promise of God. She shows up, and Jesus is surrounded by a swarm of people, and everybody's touched him and grabbed him. And all of a sudden, Jesus said he felt power go out of him. He stops. He's like, who touched me? If you don't know the story, you got to go and read this. Everybody is touching him, right? He's being thronged by everybody. But Jesus said he felt the power go out because somebody had the faith and said, if I did it. And he looks down, and the woman's there, and she said, it was I. I said, if I touch the hem of your garment. And the Lord says that your faith has made you well. So we see here God responding to faith of this woman being touched. Blind Bartimaeus, he was crying out for his sight, and everybody told him to shut up. And when he was told to shut up, he cried out louder and louder and louder. And Jesus responded to his faith. Amen? And now, let's go to Acts. You're thinking, well, that's Jesus. Look at this, Acts 14. I want this on the screen. It says, and in Lystra, a certain man was without strength in his feet, and he was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Stop there. He saw that he had faith to be healed. Have you ever wondered about this? How do you see faith to be healed? Verse 10. He said with a loud voice, this is Paul, stand up straight on your feet. And the man leaped and he walked. Now, go to Matthew 9, verse 2. We'll talk about these two together. This is Jesus again. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic laying on a bed. When Jesus, what did he see? Now he could see their faith. He said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Amen? So what did he see? What did he see? He saw somebody moving in faith. Now, the Paul example, they don't show it to us, right? Like how this guy, how Paul saw that he was there. But the people believing for something did an action. The one in Matthew is easy because the faith is they brought the man to Jesus. Amen? They lowered him down to the roof. They couldn't get there. They did a whole thing to get him in front of Jesus. So that's faith. Jesus said, that is what faith looks like. You will do anything to get in front of him. Amen? And they could physically see it. Why am I making such a big deal out of this? Is because God, in my life and what I've seen and what I see in Scripture, that God really doesn't respond to passive faith, right? There's a lot of people that say, oh, prayer doesn't work or this doesn't work and all these things. And then they go out and do nothing about it. It's just a passive belief. I believe in God. James would say, yeah, and so do the demons, and they shudder. You believe in God, so what? What is that driving you to do? Because Jesus said, those that believe in me and follow me, their lives would look like this. To love your enemies, to pray for those who persecute you, to feed the people that are hungry, to clothe those that are naked, to take care of the orphans and the widows. That's what faith looks like. If I say I believe in Jesus, that's my faith. Well, there should be a corresponding action. And what does that action look like? Well, Jesus said, it's people. Right? So if I'm engaged in faith with people, that's when we start to see God responding to his promises. That's where he's going to be at. Amen? Because then he's like, oh, I see your faith. When Abraham went up to kill Isaac, God said, he goes, now I know what's in your heart and what you're going to do. You guys know this? Where God, the Bible says that God tested Abraham, and he also says this about testing Israel in the wilderness. He goes, I tested you so I would know what you would do. And you'll say, well, God knows everything. Well, that's also true. But here we are where the scripture also tells us, I wanted to see what you would do. Amen? We never know what we'll do until we're put in that situation. I think a lot of it has to do is we know what we would do once we're under that pressure. Now, very interesting. Go to Matthew 13 on the same point. Matthew 13, 58. It's one of the, that's not the saddest. There's sadder verses, but it is a sad verse. It says, he was in a town. It says, and he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. If you read the Gospels, miracles happen is because people believed. Miracles didn't happen is because people did not believe. There was no faith there. So sometimes people got crazy miracles because like if I touch the hem of his garment, it's the same Jesus with people. And some people received and some people did not. And the only difference is faith. Amen? Remember what we said, faith isn't just a passive belief, it's an active belief. Amen? You guys are stoked. Okay, point five. Now, here's where a lot of people leave off. God can respond differently than we hope. I told you, this is not a formula. God is not a genie. God is not predictable. Amen? Now, Hebrews 11:13 is a sad verse, too. It talked about this. We talked about all those heroes, Moses, Abraham, Noah, Rahab. It says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them from a distance. Amen? God's answer to his promises is always yes. The Bible says that in him, in Jesus, is yes and amen. All the promises are true in God, but you may not receive it in this lifetime. Amen? And the Bible says, just because you don't receive it in this lifetime doesn't mean that you're not to continue to stand on the promises of God. Amen? Godly men and women for thousands of years have gone before standing on the promises of God, having died in faith, having not received the promises. Amen? That does not mean God is a liar, and it does not mean God is not true. Because we live in a thing in God's timing, in God's will, in God's world. He is the end all, right? He is the one that declares the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Amen? We are created beings doing our best to live out his will and to form ourselves to his words. And we believe and we're agents of faith and we could be asking for the exact perfect thing, but our timing is wrong. Amen? And the Bible requires us, having done all, we keep on standing. Amen? And trusting him. That's active faith, is you don't quit when it gets hard. That Christians are meant to long suffer. Amen? That when you don't hear God answer you on Tuesday, you pray again on Wednesday. You pray again on Thursday, and you could repeat that ad nauseum until the Lord takes you home without any loss of joy or effort. Amen? Biblical faith. Patience literally is faith over time. It's not an idea of waiting passively, but it's active, engaged endurance. Amen? And that's the tough thing about praying. Let's be honest with each other, friends. It gets monotonous, does it not? Praying for the same thing. Do you ever just get so sick of yourself praying for forgiveness? Hey, Lord, it's me. I've fallen again. Hey, that, you know, remember that thing that I kept doing when I was 19? Now I'm 63. Yeah, I'm still doing that. Don't you feel like a big chump? Right? Active faith says is every time I fall, there's forgiveness there. And I go back to it with that enthusiasm. It's hard to muster up the enthusiasm we had when we first began this idea that we're forgiven. Or praying for something. But the idea is just active engagement in your life. Amen? Remember, God's word has no expiration date. I am not one, and I think I could back it up scripturally. I don't want to get into a big scripture fight during the Q&A. But I don't think God is done doing miracles. I think God does miracles every single day. A lot. If you were to believe the testimony of a lot of missionaries, most of these things happen outside the United States. They happen in third world countries that are absolutely just destitute and broken and godless and living under terrible regimes. And you would ask, why is that? Is because I think that's where they need that catalyst for faith. Like, we're very blessed in this country to be able to preach the gospel freely. Amen? And I think there's a responsibility to nations that are blessed as we are, and a responsibility to share the gospel and to share our finances and all of these things. But where you see the Holy Spirit move is where people are the most desperate and the most needy. And we're just not very needy. We're just not. We don't cry out to God like that. I think I was saying this morning at the men's group, it was this morning, I never want God to have to break me down where I need him more. Because the times I've been closest to God in my life is when I had no money, I was struggling, relationships are rocky with a family member, or things aren't working out. And all these things eventually drive me to my knees. And I spend time in prayer and fasting, and I'm more engaged at church, I'm more engaged in worship. And then God delivers me from these things, and I make more money, and relationships are better, and it keeps going. And then my prayer time starts to drop, and my reading starts to drop, and my worship begins to drop. There's a direct inverse proportion, right? Problems, word goes up. No problems, you know, my selfishness goes up. And then I realized that that's how God gets our attention. He pulls the feathers out from the nest and things happen. So what does that have to do with what we're talking about? Is this faith, idea of faith, and what God is trying to do through us is get our attention and get us actively involved in it. Is to not forget these things and not let the money and the, or all the things that we have in this country, and they're good things, right? Not all these things are sinful things. Blind us to of being needy for him. I think we talked about that not too long ago. Daniel Carter, if you guys were here for his message, he talked about that, like being needy. And that's why we see the miracles in these other countries, is because they have nowhere else to turn to. They have a corrupt government. They have not enough food. They have disease and poverty. Who do you turn to? There's nobody. And so, again, part of what made us such a great nation, and it still makes us a great nation, I know in my life, sometimes it just hampers my prayer life, because I'm not very needy, because I have money, because I do have doctors, and I don't really have scarcity, and I don't have lack. So the key is, when we have the abundance of God's blessing upon us, is to remember these things, amen? Amen. To remember those who don't, is to remember those and then share with those that don't have. Like, the Bible gives all sorts of recipes for what to do when you have these things. I don't want to get too far off there, but I think it's important to reflect on these things. And I don't know if that's true in your life, but it's definitely been true in mine. Okay. Now, I want to put the pattern back up here. Can you give me the big one again here? So the idea and the thought I want to leave you with is, hopefully you're asking God for things. Hopefully that you're believing God for something. Could be your salvation, but there should be more than that, right? Because that's what prayer is. We go to God with our requests, and so we're asking him for something. Amen? That means we have to start exercising faith towards something. So if you're just stuck in the cycle, you're like, it seems like I'm just not breaking loose. Sometimes it really could be as we're waiting for God. But I kind of wanted to give you something to check in on yourself. Am I believing for something and I have no way to act upon it? Should I be doing something, God? Am I a part of this equation? Because if I'm believing for something big, it always starts with finding the promise in the Word of God. That's step one. So I'll give you a great example that happened in my life, in my wife's life. We have two beautiful kids. They're bigger now. They're not kids. They're goobers. But Hannah, our daughter, had really, really bad eczema. It's called weeping eczema. I don't know if you've seen it, but it leaves. I should have brought in the picture. But it just was really hard on the skin, and it would weep pus and all these things. And we would take her to Children's Hospital in San Diego. She wouldn't sleep at night, and she would cry. And it got to the point my wife is crying because my daughter is crying, and we can't do anything. We're just completely helpless. I don't want to cry thinking about it. But the very quick Reader's Digest version of it, as I went into the scripture and I found all the promises where God healed somebody. He sent his word to heal us and deliver us from all instruction. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. They shall lay their hands upon the sick. They will pray the prayer of faith. There's a bunch of them. And what I did was I wrote all these scriptures down, and then I put my daughter's name in it. I said, the Lord has sent his word, and he healed Hannah. I made it personal. And I tacked it to her wall. And every night when we tucked our daughter in, I would read the scriptures over my daughter. I was helpless. Like, there's no cure for eczema, right? The doctors had nothing. Like, they told us to wet bandages, and we had some steroid creams. And the steroid creams were, like, bleaching her skin. It was a whole thing. I was needy. I was desperate. And the truth is, I didn't want to see my wife cry. It sounds really selfish. But the one way to make me cry is to have my wife cry, right? Because I was like, now I feel helpless and angry, and I just want to stop crying. Let me fix this. Well, about 30 days later, friends, and God is my witness, her skin starts clearing up. I mean, it just clears up. And you know Hannah, like, it never 100% went away, but it just turned into, like, normal eczema. It all dried up. The skin stopped cracking. Like, all the scales kind of, like, fell off. All started happening around 30 days. 30 days of me praying this text over her. I didn't know what to do. And so I was like, my faith has to do something. I was like, well, at a minimum, I'm going to keep hearing it. She's going to keep hearing it. I'm going to rehearse these things. And I believed, and therefore I spoke. And I kept saying it and praying it. Now, what I'm not saying is that's a recipe for you, and that's going to work for you. But I want to give you a testimony from my own life of what I did there. What do you do if you're believing God to restore a relationship that's broken with maybe a child or a loved one or a parent or somebody, and they won't even pick up the phone to talk to you? You want to take that step and do it, but you know darn good and well if you pick up the phone, they're not going to either pick up or they're going to make it worse, right? So find the text where God wants, where it says, God, you said, you know, you, if at all possible with me to live at peace, I want to extend you an olive branch. I want to be able to repent to this person. Could you please write these things down, friend, and start standing on this every day as an act of faith? Amen? I don't know. I should have. In Jeremiah, this is the text that broke it all open for me. It says, is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock to pieces? God tells Jeremiah this. Is not my, I'll have to, somebody could Google it. That's the direct quote. Is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock to pieces? And I remember praying and having this visual image that, have you ever seen a rock being hit with a hammer? You hit it once, it doesn't break, but if you just keep hitting it in the same spot, eventually that thing cracks. I had this epiphany that's what God's word is like. I just need to use it to start hammering the stubborn things in my life and standing like, hey, his word is true, and I did these things. I don't know, it's a beautiful thing, and it increases my faith, it increases my engagement in the word, and it causes me to be active in my faith. So my question to you is, one, are you believing God for anything? Are you praying anything? You should be. If you're not, let's fix that. If you are, if it feels like your faith is stuck and you're just nowhere getting results, just think about these things. Do I have a scriptural backing to believe God for it? Am I having a corresponding action to do these things? Is there an action? And then maybe you're doing all these things and we're waiting for God to respond. And sometimes we just have to face facts like, God, what are you saying here? Because maybe you're not responding like how I think you should respond. My final thought of the night comes out of Luke 18:8. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you, he's talking about when he returns giving justice to the nations. He says, I will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It's always been kind of a telling question to me that Jesus would ask us, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on the earth? And I know in my life, my biblical faith, the smarter I get is not, and I'm not saying I'm smart, but I'm saying hopefully I've gotten wiser over the last 10 to 20 years being in the Word, doesn't always correspond to increasing in faith. It's a mental ascent. It's an academic exercise here, because I realize my corresponding action, if faith always has an action, the smarter and the wealthier I've gotten, if I had to put up a graph, my faith has actually decreased over time, because I was doing a whole lot more when I had a whole lot less. And so the challenge for me that I've given myself preaching is the worst thing ever because you have to really look at yourself and you have to fix these things or you're a hypocrite. Amen? And so what I've challenged myself to do is to be more engaged in it. I say I believe a lot of things, but I realize in my life there's not a lot of corresponding action, right? So that's where on our chart there, this is where Michael Young begins to break down, is because I got a whole lot of this memorized. I know a whole lot of the promises. And a lot of these things have penetrated my heart. And I believe God, that he heals. I believe that God saves. I believe all these things, and I mean it. But if you look at a lot of areas of my life, I'm sure not acting like it all the time. And I feel bad about that. Some areas I'm doing okay, and I want to, I'm not a total dirtbag. You know, I'm not living rough out on the streets or anything like that. But I know there's a ton of room for me to get better in my faith walk here. And I know when I do that God will respond. Amen? Like there's always a corresponding action from him that those who believe in God must believe that he is, here it is, and that he's a rewarder. Amen? Because when you engage yourself in any kind of faith, what it is God does reward that kind of faith. We don't know what that looks like, but we see a lot of examples of ways he's responded before. Amen? Whether it's healing relationships, right? Jobs, promotions, forgiveness, right? You name it. He's in that business of rewarding them who diligently seek him. Well, I hope you got something. Amen? All right, worship team, if you want to come up here, I'll pray. My phone was vibrating a lot. I don't know what that means, but I'm guessing we probably have some Q&A coming up here. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together in your word. I thank you again that I know, just like Adrian prayed on the front end here, I can only speak to me, Father God, as I'm not the best example of Christian faith in action here. Lord, there's a lot of things I agree with mentally and I say with my mouth, but my actions betray me. Father, there's people here that are new Christians. They don't know the promises. And they need to be active on the receiving end of the faith. Father, there's, just like the parable of the sower, there's people here where the good seed has fallen on the hard ground or is being choked out. There's all different things happening here, Father. But united, we just ask for your help. Help us, Father. Lord God, help us to live lives of distinction, Father God, to live and to look like you, to respond like you would. Father, to be bold, to be able to stand up for the truth and righteousness. Father God, that in the same way, Jesus, you did that, but we could also be kind and loving to people in a world that is bent on hating us and maligning us, Father. Help us. Help us to live in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation, Lord God, and help us, Jesus, like you said, when you return, that you will find faith on this earth, that you'll find men and women that are standing for you and acting on your behalf as your hands and your feet. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for this time together this evening. And Lord God, we ask for your help now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing in response?